Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on three key topics, although we can probably deal with them quite quickly. The first is the US inflation data for October that came out during the week, certainly surprised on the downside, and is encouraging from an interest rate perspective. That doesn't mean that I think the Fed cuts rates early, but it puts the Fed in a position where they don't necessarily have to increase interest rates any further. The second data point is South Africa's retail sales. That number was for September. It surprised on the upside, and the net result is that for the third quarter of the year, retail sector recorded positive growth, which is very encouraging given the current interest rate environment and general economic conditions. And then the third topic is Standard & Poor's decision to keep South Africa's credit rating unchanged and, more importantly, to leave the outlook as stable. Some people anticipated that they would revise the outlook to negative given the medium-term budget policy detail. But clearly it didn't shock them. They had anticipated some deterioration in South Africa's fiscal parameters, and for the moment the outlook remains unchanged. So let's start off with a discussion on the US inflation data for October. The CPI index was unchanged in the month, which resulted in the annual rate of inflation moderating from 3.7% in September down to 3.2%. That's a decent move to the downside, certainly encouraging from a policy perspective. If I look at core inflation, that went up 0.2% in the month. Nothing wrong with that as an outcome. That's pretty much in line with the long-term average. But if I look at the annual rate of core inflation, that remains elevated at 4%. So that would suggest that the Fed still has work to do to get inflation fully under control, certainly get it closer to the goal of 2% before they can consider cutting interest rates. If we delve into some of the subcomponents, I would say that most of the key areas of inflation are all moving in the right direction. I look at food inflation, that's moderated now to 3.3%. If I go back last year, food inflation in the US was something like 10 or 11%. So a meaningful slowdown there. If I look at shelter inflation, yes, still elevated at 6.7%, but it peaked at 8.2%. So again, there's been some moderation there, and I expect shelter inflation will continue to moderate during the course of next year, allowing for core inflation to move considerably lower than where it is now. So if you go item by item, there aren't any areas that really stand out as being of significant concern. There's certainly no evidence of a re-acceleration of any inflationary pressure. And it appears at this stage just to be a question of time. In other words, waiting for the interest rates to have the desired effect and to bring inflation more fully under control. And the markets obviously like that outcome. It strengthened the bond market and the equity market, and that certainly had a global positive impact. But I think the overall takeaway from this is that the Federal Reserve has done enough on interest rates. They simply need to keep rates where they are and ensure that inflation continues to moderate before they cut. An early cut in interest rates runs the risk of inflation re-accelerating, forcing the Federal Reserve to resume rate hikes. That would be very uncomfortable, and it would undermine the credibility of the Federal Reserve. So my sense is that they'll err on the conservative side, wait until the job is clearly done. In other words, inflation is fully under control, and then they can afford to cut interest rates and essentially start the next economic upswing in the US with the confidence that inflation is under control at the start of the business cycle upswing. The second aspect I think we need to discuss is South Africa's retail sales for the month of September. During the month, retail spending rose by only 0.1%, which obviously is not all that exciting, but it does represent the fourth consecutive monthly increase in retail spend. Now, that is encouraging in an economy that is struggling to gain any momentum. When we look at the performance for retail during the third quarter of the year, there was a gain of 0.8%, and that will feed directly into South Africa's GDP estimate for the third quarter, helping to offset the decline that we've already seen in mining activity as well as manufacturing. So when I look at the productive side of this economy, things like construction, manufacturing, mining, all of those sectors remain under significant pressure and look like they are worsening, in other words, going into recession conditions. Fortunately, offsetting that is some resilience in terms of consumer spending and also some resilience from the banking perspective, financial activity holding up reasonably well. And so those two factors, retail and finance, I think providing some cushion for the South African economy, ensuring that we generate a positive growth for the year in total. Now, behind the scenes, there is evidence to show that the consumer is becoming more indebted. The consumer has been indulging in more short-term credit, particularly credit card debt, and that's obviously a worrying trend, arguing that the consumer's increasing the use of credit in order to fund their shopping activity, and clearly that can't be sustained in a high interest rate environment. The second element is that there has been a depletion of savings. So if we look at the net savings rate in South Africa for the household sector, it's gone negative. And so we've seen evidence that consumers are delving into some of their very limited savings pools, delving into additional uses of credit in order to keep shopping going. But clearly that could result in consumers coming under more distress during the course of next year, particularly if interest rates by that stage are still fairly elevated. So for the moment, it is encouraging that the retail sector is holding on. But the underneath the dynamic of what's causing that is a little bit of a concern. Lastly, I think it's worthwhile to have a quick look at what Standard & Poor's had to say about South Africa's credit rating. They did an update, provided some detail on their assessment, some of their forecast estimates of where government activity is going. But the net result is they kept South Africa's credit rating unchanged at BB-, and I guess more importantly, kept the outlook as stable. Now, there were some worries that S&P would revise the outlook to negative, given the recent deterioration in South Africa's fiscal parameters as outlined in the medium-term budget policy statement. But if I look at the detail that S&P provided, it's clear that they did anticipate some deterioration and that the deterioration that we've seen wasn't particularly shocking from their perspective. Importantly, though, S&P warned that if government is unable to implement the necessary economic reforms in order to lift economic growth, the necessary reforms in order to ensure sustained fiscal discipline, then clearly they'd be forced to downgrade South Africa's credit rating. They would presumably first put us on a negative outlook, and then if we don't adjust policy after that, they would downgrade us further. So this doesn't mean that there's no chance of a downgrade. What it means is that for the moment, they're trusting that government will implement some of the reforms that they have been talking about. If I look at some of the dynamics that they flag, they clearly are concerned about the contingent liabilities, in other words, how much debt the state-owned enterprises have, and the fact that ultimately the government may have to transfer additional funds, certainly to Transnet, but to other SOEs. So that is a clear concern. They're obviously also concerned about salary increases, about the continuation of the social relief of distress grant and whether that is affordable. They're also raising a concern about government's ability to implement the type of cost cutting that they outlined in the medium-term budget. So there are a number of flags that S&P have raised, but for the moment, they obviously don't feel that those justify any change in the credit rating. It doesn't mean everything was negative. There are some key things that they highlight as being what they call credit positive, and in particular they flag a credible central bank, which is essentially the stability of the South African Reserve Bank, that in every single credit rating remains a key strength, and one has to hope that the independence of the Reserve Bank is assured. The second positive they flag is a flexible exchange rate, and South Africa's currency certainly trades on a fairly volatile basis, but the fact that it is flexible, that it's not interfered with, is, I guess, from a credit rating perspective, positive. And then the third aspect they flag is our what they call our deep capital markets. In other words, we have a well-developed bond market, equity market. Government can raise funds in the domestic market. We have a sizable pension industry. All of that does provide something of a safety net, together with the fact that South Africa's foreign debt remains fairly low. So I think there are still some positives South Africa can focus on. But I think the overarching message is clear, and that is that if South African government is not able to implement some of the key reform measures that they outlined in the medium-term budget, then I guess the credit rating agencies would have little choice but to downgrade us further. I think there is scope for the government to make significant reforms, to systematically improve our fiscal parameters. And while our debt level has moved up and will continue to move up in the short term, we remain positive around the medium-term outlook for South Africa from a government perspective, especially if we can find a way to scale back load shedding and lift the growth rate, even if it's only to over 2%. That will certainly help to ease some of the short-term pressures. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.